Know the self as Lord of the chariot, the body as the chariot itself, the discriminating intellect as charioteer, and the mind as reins. The senses, say the wise, are the horses. Selfish desires are the roads they travel. When one lacks discrimination and the mind is undisciplined, the senses run hither and thither like wild horses. But they obey the rein like trained horses when one has discrimination and has made the mind one-pointed. With a discriminating intellect as charioteer and a trained mind as reins, they attain the supreme goal of life, to be united with the Lord of love.
The supreme goal of life, to be united with the Lord of love. What a statement. The Lady of Love. I think the majority gender in the room today is female, so the Lady of Love, to be united with that. It's another reference to God or spirit or self or your true nature. So using that piece, let's try and say something about what you are. What are you? And let's talk about chariots. A chariot. Imagine a chariot. When these things were written 5,000 years ago, people had chariots and would roam around the place in chariots. So a chariot is the metaphor. And it's saying, the body, your body, there's a body, obviously. Clearly there's a body. And it's calling it a chariot. That means your body is a vehicle, like a chariot. It's an instrument. It's something to hold something else. A chariot, if we had one here, would be lovely if we had one. I'd like to have a chariot here to point at and describe. It would be beautiful. If we had one here, it would be inert. It wouldn't be moving, it wouldn't be doing anything, it would simply be inert. It would be a vessel to be filled. Similarly, the body is the ground vessel in which there are lots of other bits and pieces, making you live and think and do and sense and become and act and live. A chariot is useless unless it has horses. Horses have to come into contact with the chariot for the chariot to come alive and move, to move. The chariot wants to move, it has wheels, it wants to move, it wants to do, but it requires horses. So what are the horses in your case? What is it that brings life to the chariot? It's the senses. Just consider in this moment, right now, this ordinary simple moment, how active your senses are. Hearing, listening, seeing, feeling, tasting, touching. Have you ever realized that your entire experience in any one moment is a consequence of those senses? When you wake up in the morning, what is it that boots up into life? These senses. Suddenly there is information, there is data, enormous, enormous amounts of data is suddenly there and present. It's the senses. Just appreciate in these few seconds as I speak about it, how rich that experience is, how alive, how wonderful, how hard to explain. Even science finds it difficult to explain how the senses actually produce the experience that you're having now of experiencing things. So the senses are the horses which bring the body in the capacity to move and act. A chariot with its horses would go off trotting down the road. So what are the roads that you travel down in your life? Remember, it's a metaphor. We're not talking about walking. We're talking about the whole experience of the living day. What are the roads down which you travel? its desires, ideas, motivations, stuff, things in the world which the senses notice and want, or things in the world which the senses notice and want to avoid. And that valley, those peaks and troughs of wanting and avoiding, are the power which drives people on in life. It's simple point, simplifying a very complex set of arrangements. But just think about it for a minute. You want some things and you want to avoid other things. And that dynamic is what brings your personality to act in the world. From where have these things come? You desire one thing and that person doesn't desire the same thing. It's my desire, you might say. Then tell me from where it's come. Can you? Is it possible? Strong forces move in you. Strong impulses. From where have they come? It's mysterious, isn't it? We said everyone in the room is unique, everyone in the world is unique. Every single person is carrying unique content that is driving them based on what I want and what I don't want, what I'll resist and what I'll allow to come towards me. So the roads down which you travel are the desires for the stuff in life. Now, hold on. If we have our horses and our chariot and we have the road ahead of us, it's dangerous because the horses will run off because they're not attached to the chariot. So we require reins. I'm not a horse rider. I have ridden horses when I was a kid. But I'm not a horse rider. Some of you here will be. But we all know how vital the reins are to steer the horse, to check the horse, to encourage the horse, to turn the horse, to pacify the horse, to give the horse some security, actually. So what are the reins in terms of your life? It's the mind. The mind. The checks and balances in your mind. So here are the senses, alive with information. Here are the desires and the interests driving you forward down the road of your life. Without something there to bring checks and balances, which is your thinking, life would be very animal. Like a tiger who just wants to satisfy desire at any cost and has no compassion or no interest in the compassionate responses to other tigers. Perhaps I'm doing tigers an injustice, maybe. But you know, you see that characteristic in nature of just gratifying desires. So without a mind which can check and direct those desires, the world would be worse than it is now. So your mind, your personal mind, remember, which is unique, remember, running its own unique program, your personal mind is acting as the reins of your desires and senses. So now we have our chariot, we have our horses, we have the energy to drive them, we have the direction in which they're traveling. But who is the charioteer? Who is it? What is it in you which is in charge of the chariot? What is it? What is it? Who's in charge? Is anyone in charge? For us as human beings, that which is in charge is the intellect. It's a portion of what we call mind, which has the capacity to direct, to be abstract. The other part of your mind, which I said is acting as the reins, is that which processes all the data and that which has memories, that which can manage information moment by moment without you really struggling for it. It's the functionality of your mind. But a higher part of your mind is the intellect, what we call wisdom. The ability you have to apparently select, direct, check. Your intellect is that which is the charioteer within your body. I wonder if you can start to see your body as an instrument, as a vehicle, as a vessel, containing this wondrous energy that we call life. I wonder if you can start to understand that that is what it is, an instrument to perceive and express. And what a wonder. What a wonder, what magnificence you are. Look what you can do. Think, communicate, exercise tenderness, do good works, enjoy, thrive, experience passions and interests. What a gift to have that human experience. There are some challenges as well, which you can discuss. But what a gift, what a gift, and what a wonder, and what a blessing to have this human experience. Your life will go on for about 90 years, and then it will end. What a project. 90 years, what a project. What will you do with it, with that 90 years? What a question. What a provocative question. Will it just drift by? Or is there some purpose? Is there some principal desire? When I was 10, my principal desire, I didn't understand it, was to be happy. Is there some principal desire in you? Because I put it to you, there is some principal desire. If you can find it, however abstract it may be, it's a very precious asset in your life. The intellect is that part of you which manages all that, which tries to assert some kind of directional architecture and map to your life plan. So here we have it. We have a chariot, the body. We have horses, the senses. We have roads down which you will travel, which are your interests and desires. We have reins to check and steer, which are the functioning of the mind. And we have someone who's apparently leading that and enjoying that, who is the intellect in you. Is that all? Is that all? It's not. Because up to this point, I've described the function, so to speak, of a wondrous human being. But think of a charioteer. 5,000 years ago in India, when that metaphor was written, think about a charioteer. She, I'll keep the gender female, she would not be acting alone. She'd be receiving direction. She'd be under the command, the ownership of some lord somewhere, some lady, some higher lady somewhere. She'd be assigned to some house. She would be the instrument in the army of some greater commander, someone who had actually commissioned the chariot, who's responsible for the development of the chariot, who was actually instructing and giving orders to the chariot, some commander. Without that, the chariot wouldn't exist and would have no function and no ability to carry on, no resources. So is that true for us? Is that true for us? And the answer is yes, yes, definitely. So who is the mistress of the chariot? Not the intellect, because that's doing all the work. Who's the mistress that that intellect is deferring to? Who is the supreme commander of you? That is what we call self, spirit, soul, God, Atman. I hope one of those words will resonate with everyone in the room. Soul, spirit, self, God, Atman. You can find the intellect. It's not difficult. You can find it. You know it's happening. It's the wisdom in you. You can experience it. You can find the mind. It's clearly apparent. You can find the senses. You can find the desires. You can find the body. All these things can be found. They can be looked at. They can be considered. They can be examined. But that which is the shining, permanent, constant spirit, which is literally giving you consciousness. How do you find that? That which previously I said was the repository of happiness and peace. That which is the first power. It's real, it's definite. It's without doubt. It is powering your very awareness right now. It is shining. It is there all the time. It's never not been there. It was there when you were 4, when you were 9, when you were 15, when you were 25, on and on and on. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. From day one to day 12,008, that awareness, that knowing that something's happening, that simple knowing, I'm awake, I'm doing things, I'm acting, that knowing is something, which has all those names. And coming to the understanding of that and the experience of that, right? Fully in your face is spirituality. From it falls the positive aspects of life, and in it dances happiness, peace, creativity, freedom, joy. Now, this is a reality. I'm not speaking of some fancy. I'm speaking of a reality that's been recognized in the whole of human history and is particularly well described in Vedanta, but also is the source and essence of all other religions and spiritual philosophies in the world. Your body is the chariot. Your senses are the horses. Your desires are the directions the horses travel. Your mind is the reins. Your intellect is the charioteer. And Atman, spirit, is the principal, first and foremost element of you. At this point, let us chant some of these traditional mantras which come from this time and support all these teachings. You can either participate or you can simply listen.